Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money, Your Life podcast, episode 181 of the podcast. Make sure wherever you're listening, subscribe, five-star rate and review, and comment the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you know every time I drop a new episode. Before we get into the episode, I had a crazy experience. This is an emergency, folks, a crazy experience walking back this morning from Whole Foods on my long walk. I saw something that was scary. I even texted my fiance about it. I was walking home from Whole Foods, and I see an older gentleman with his dog. He has some items, look like toilet paper that he got from CVS, waiting to cross the street. Out of nowhere, a gentleman looks a little bit disheveled. All right, he looks disheveled. He's carrying a 2x4, a wood piece 2x4. And he comes out of nowhere and hits this gentleman in the head and demands the gentleman drop the items he has in his hand and said he's an officer of the law, which he clearly wasn't. It says he's an officer of the law and to drop the items. No one knows what's going on. I don't know what's going on. The guy keeps screaming at him to drop the items. The old man's yelling, please, like, what's going on? What are you doing? The old man gets away with his dog. They start walking across the street. The guy chases him down, hits him again. And that's when everyone and we all stepped in and just said, what is going on here? Separation happened. Cops were called. But that was a scary moment for people. It's understand that. One, you're going to see that's just the mental health issues, and hopefully he gets the help he needs, and hopefully the gentleman that was accosted also is fine. But you're going to see a lot when the environment changes, the world changes, when recessions happen, when things happen, people are going to be a little bit more on edge. You're probably seeing the interactions that you're having with people. People are more on edge. Your coworkers, they're more on edge. People are more easily offended. That's just a change in the times. Remember in 2021 when people thought life was too great? Then people thought everything was great. You're seeing a shift. You're seeing a shift for people. So just stay calm, stay safe. You never know what you may run into out there, folks. Scary, scary stuff. So with that said, let's jump into the markets this week. And again, it's been a strong ride for the markets in 2023. Literally, you know, let's look at a chart. If we're looking at the S&P 500 and just looking at a chart, I want to go 5 years out to really capture what most people don't understand. So when the 2022 came about and the market was dropping, what's the instinct that you saw other people doing, that a lot of people that I saw doing? They stopped saving money. They stopped investing because that was the wrong move to make, right? They're like, oh, the market's going down. I'm going to stop doing the right thing and not invest my money, not save. And literally, if those people kept doing that and dollar cost averaging, they would have caught this upswing of the market, which is getting closer. It's not hit, but it's getting back to its highs, all-time highs, right? A lot of that's driven right now by corporate earnings. The banks came out yesterday. Goldman came out today, and they actually missed profits and missed earnings. But the bigger banks, Bank of America, JPM, they had strong numbers, and the market is reacting by having another upkick based on these strong numbers that the banks had. It's really been strong moves for a lot of the big tech companies too. The big tech companies are dragging a lot of the market forward. And it's really been the main driver. Look at the Dow. The Dow wasn't up that much so far this year. It's up 5%. The S&P 500, which is heavily comprised of some of the big tech companies, is up right 19-20%. And the NASDAQ, which is fully comprised of growth and big tech, is up about 30-some%, right? So you're seeing that kind of in the market as well. It's really concentrated in some of the big names, and it doesn't have full breath in other of the names as far as this huge rally so far this year. But that's an important lesson for people that were like, oh, I'm going to stop saving and investing. They just didn't do the right thing, right? So it's unfortunate for those folks. Let's move on to the Activision story. So remember when Microsoft said they acquired Activision for $69 billion? Regulators on the US and the British side said, hey, we can't let you do that because that's going to be a huge antitrust issue, huge anti-competitive issue for consumers. And they are pretty much stalled because regulators do not like this deal, but now they extended the deadline for the deal to close and they set up to October 18th. And that signals that the two companies believe they'll be able to get to some deal and get to satisfy the regulator concerns. But they want to acquire Activision Blizzard, which is obviously a video game publisher. Microsoft does a lot of things, which happens to also be in the video game space. But they're trying to get this agreement to come through, and we're going to see if it does. But that's a big move in just the technology in the video game space, a huge, huge move. Speaking of recessions, folks, let's move forward to our next story. Our next story of the day. So we talked about Goldman's earnings a little bit, and that they took a huge hit. And they actually have. So Goldman Sachs announced their earnings yesterday, or actually today, if you're listening to it on a Wednesday. Oh, you wouldn't be. Not all of you listen to it on Thursday. So scratch that. But they came in below on their earnings per share. They came in at $3.08 versus an estimated $3.18. And the recent quarter saw a 58% drop in profit, which is a lot of it from the write-downs on commercial real estate and fintech lender GreenSky, which they purchased a while back. I forgot for what valuation, but they're writing that down because they're trying to really get rid of it, and the valuation is just not making sense. They bought it for some billions, can't really sell it for the billions they bought it for, and so they're writing that down. I think the CEO, David Solomon's on the hot seat, to be honest. He came in and was like, all right, Goldman, which has previously been, hey, we only cater to the ultra high net worth, which is $30 million and above. We only cater to those folks. And David Solomon came in and said, hey, we're going to make this Goldman Sachs more of an everybody thing, which at the time I thought, okay, that's a decent strategy to collect everything, but it's really not working out because Goldman is known for being a niche catered, great at investment banking, decent at trading, ultra high net worth wealth management. And now they're just like losing that shine and allure, and they're losing money also. So it wouldn't be surprised. He's on the hot seat. I have no clue into their board and what their board is going to do, but that's just my take from it. But we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see if I'm right down the line. Households struggling to borrow. Americans are getting turned down for loans. So the rejection rate is at its highest since 2018, according to new figures from the Federal Reserve. Roughly 22% of loan applications over the last month were denied, likely due to higher interest rates, recent bank failures, and the waning reliability of credit scores. The borrowing challenge comes just as millions of Americans find themselves dealing with soaring costs. We've talked about it. Soaring costs. People aren't really realizing the soaring costs are a thing, right? Like, from your grocery store to anything, to all these things, soaring costs are going to really hit people. $250K is the new $100K, right? Remember when $100K used to be the standard, I guess, of like earnings for people? It's now $250K to really, really be able to combat these high inflation prices that are really, really hitting, you know, people hard, right? And so people are turning to borrowing, and whether it's loans, personal loans, business loans, equity, home equity line of credits, people are just turning to borrowing to try to combat the high cost inflation prices that are really hitting people pretty, pretty hard. So we're watching for that. Debt is at the highest level it's been for a while. Income is going to be stagnant for people for a while. You saw the big jump in 2021 when there was a huge arms race, for lack of a better word, for talent. And now I think you're just going to see, you know, a lot more borrowing, especially as things kind of slow down and moderate over the next couple of years. This is an interesting story. So I saw that people are just buying new homes instead of buying old homes. It's the developers are a little bit more lenient on the interest, the mortgage rates. There's just people that are in older homes or current homes are holding on to them a little bit as well because their interest rate might be lower. But it's showing that U.S. buyers are snapping up newly built homes, and they're driving sales of single family houses up 20% in May alone. Again, that's just of new houses, new developments. So it's really a thing that you'll probably see more often. And it was actually another fact on new homes that I wanted to show as well. Yes. Just 1.4% of U.S. homes have changed hands so far this year. So again, that's just showing that the slowdown in the pace of transactions and volumes of home buying, it slowed down. There's no doubt and no, you know, no two ways about it. It's 100% slowed down. Netflix is going into gaming. They tried this before. I don't know if this is their thing, but Netflix is having a strong year. They're doing well with their subscription. They added different tiers. They're doing well. But they're introducing mobile games. They're trying to really get into gaming. It's planning. They're planning to launch, what is it, 40 games this year. And it's working on a high-budget title from former Halo and Overwatch creators. So interesting. They're really trying to get into this gaming thing. I don't know if that's why we go to Netflix, but they could. I could be convinced to change my mind. Me and my fiance are looking for fun new shows. Have you even seen anything yet? There's HBO's got a couple that is going pretty fun, pretty interesting. Apple TV Plus, The Hijack Show, that's a good one. We've found a couple, actually. Let me not speak, but yeah, Netflix, I don't know if we're coming to you for the games just yet. Like, bring out something that's really cool. Maybe we'll watch or maybe we'll play, but they did do that Choose Your Own Adventure show/game that was horrendous. It was part of the Black Mirror series. They released that, and that was just horrendous. If you ever seen it, watched it, don't waste your time. It was a disaster. But other than that, they're doing well. We'll keep our eyes out for that from Netflix. So, folks, yeah, I think that's all we've had. Current news, it's a decent week, quiet week. If you heard anything else, let me know. We'll make sure to cover it next week. I wanted to go into our case study of the week. Last week, we did the Michael Rubin. I think people like this week, I want to touch on LeBron James, one of my favorite athletes of all time. Also one of my favorite businessmen of all time. We don't want to go through his accolades. You know who he is. Four-time NBA champion, four-time MVP, 19-time All-Star. And guess what? He's the highest paid NBA player of all time. So this is one of those situations where I talked about W-2 earners not really getting rich. That's the opposite if you're like only in professional sports, right? Those are W-2 earners. And if you're in football, if you're in basketball, no matter where you, if you're a starter, if you're somewhere sixth, seventh, eighth man, you're getting rich as a W-2 earner. If you're in football, if you're a first round pick, yes. If you're not, you're not really getting rich to your second contract, right? And it has to be a long-term contract. So, rich is relative, like to the normal person, like, you know, that's relative, right? But if you look at it, he signed a 2-year, $97 million contract with the Lakers. They'll pay him $50 million in 2024 and 2025. So we know he's made a lot of money W-2-wise from the Lakers and for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Heat, of course. But let's look into what other stuff he's done as far as his business portfolio. You know, he had the extension that made him the highest earning player of all time with $532 million. That's half a billion. Just from W-2 from all his teams combined, but he makes roughly $90 million a year in endorsements off the court. So dive into some of them. They include AT&T, Walmart, Intel, Kia. And why is he getting these endorsements? Because he's one of the biggest, most recognizable brands in the world, right? And maybe of all time. And so he's a sponsor for these brands. They pay him to promote, to do advertisements for these brands. Of course, he has a monster deal with Nike. I thought he signed a lifetime deal, but they're saying he signed a 7-year, $93 million. Oh, that was out of high school. Yes. 7-year, $93 million out of high school. Okay. Of course. And I think he signed a lifetime deal in 2015. So this is a lifetime deal. You're seeing these deals for more of the bigger people that Nike wants to keep on board forever. It's expected to be worth north of a B. So you already counted, you know, he's up 2 or 3 billion by net worth already. Right. Just in this, what we've talked about. So that's a Nike, the lifetime deal worth over a B that was signed in 2015. I said he's actually at net worth at 1 billion, but I think he's more than that. He gets paid for Instagram posts. Of course, I don't think he does that anymore. Not many do that. I was missing the different business portfolios. He has Blaze Pizza. He has other investments he's made. Those are the ones that I also want to get into. Let's see if I missed those. Yes. Blaze Pizza. So he invested and became a spokesperson for Blaze Pizza. So again, a lot of these people with discretionary cash are investing in startups, helping grow those startups, taking equity value in these startups. He also could do that with established brands. He could do that with Sprite or Mountain Dew, have equity as well as have a piece or have pay for his time and his advertisement, but he could also do things with investing in these early companies. He also has his own tequila, Lobos 1707. Has anyone tried it? I haven't, but I know he promotes it. I might give it a try, but he's presumably a huge investor in his company. I'm curious on the ownership percentage. Tequila, alcohol for big brands. This is a go-to. George Clooney flipped his tequila brand and exited, made hundreds of millions of dollars. The valuation was a billion when he sold. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has his own tequila or wine or company or alcohol brand that is also probably has a $1 billion valuation as well. So that's another go-to for them when you really have a big brand is, all right, what do most people enjoy? Okay, we'll do alcohol. It used to be the clothing thing. People don't do the clothing thing as much. The merch, it's like, all right, everyone drinks alcohol. Everyone's trying to party, have a good time. And so that's something they do. He also owns a piece of Liverpool FC, the esteemed English Premier League club. That's pretty cool. Ownership is something he's talked about. And especially with owning a basketball team when he's finished with his playing career, he also bought into Fenway Sports Group, which is Liverpool's FC's parent company. And that makes him a part owner of the Boston Red Sox. So, he's really savvy. You got to give it up to his team because he also created his own media venture, which is Uninterrupted, the media venture that does a lot of shows. Obviously, they have the Barbershop Show. They have a lot of stuff that they produce and created. And they obviously got an injection of capital, it looks like, from Warner Bros. For I wonder what equity percentage, but that was in 2015. They kicked it off and it's done really well. So that's the production company Spring Hill, the one I'm mentioning that's done really well. They did the Space Jam movie, which was not great, but I did watch it. So yeah, they're doing a lot. And that's the show, the Barbershop Show that I talked about. Got into a feud with Nick Saban because I think Nick Saban had something called The Shop as well. There is rumors that LeBron owns a stake in Clutch Sports because his agent has an agency called Clutch Sports Agency. Of course, as a current active player, LeBron can have ownership stake in an agency that also represents other players. I think there's something behind it where after he retires, Rich Paul knows he has to give him 51% of the company or something like that, because it's the biggest agency in the NBA, right? So that's something to note as well. So this is an interesting case study. It's really been, of course, he had a lot of money through his W-2 from the teams he plays on, but he took that capital, invested it. He's been known to be a very, very budgeted wise person. Doesn't even spend money on like Wi-Fi unless it's free. That's a little absurd, but that's all he can do what he wants when he's at that level, of course. So budget wise person, but he's investing that money in different ventures to grow his portfolio in a diversified way. And he has equity stake in a lot of other businesses that are worth a lot more than what his W-2 has paid him, right? Like a lot of his business portfolio is heavy on the investments and equity stakes in other areas that are paying him much, much more and have a valuation that's much, much higher than anything he's earned from even the $500 million he's earned on the court. So something to note, an interesting case study. I like doing these because you can really get a look into what people are doing. So we'll try to look for some more interesting ones. If you have one on your mind, shoot it my way. I'll look into it. But that's all we have this week. Make sure you stay safe, stay well. We'll talk to you next week.